When you met the theatre maker and Anchuli Felicia King on our program, she told you and me all about the phenomenon of skin whitening creams that are popular in Asia. Now, these creams are marketed in ads like this.
The new woman is remarkable. She enjoys a full-time career in independence. She knows her colors by heart, taking charge of the radiant white skin she wears. That's attitude, powered by Active White. Tell us, what man could resist her? Be the fairest of them all. Active White, L-glutathione for radiant white skin.
Yeah, that's an ad for a skin whitening cream that's marketed in the Philippines. Now, Anchuli Felicia King is a playwright with Thai Australian heritage, and her play White Pearl is set in the Singapore office of a company which sells these products. And the office becomes a microcosm of the complexities of Pan-Asian race and culture. And I read the script for this one. It's the most transgressive, oh my God, did that character really say that script, that I've read in an eternity. And the great news is that it's been picked up by the Sydney Theatre Company and Riverside's National Theatre of Parramatta for their 2019 season. When we spoke to Anchuli, the script was still in development, and I asked her where she got the idea from.
I mean, I started writing this play around 2 years ago when two of these whitening cream ads were going viral on YouTube. One was a Chinese laundry detergent ad, which featured a white-skinned woman putting a black-skinned man into a washing machine and then him emerging as a white man. And then another one was a Thai skin whitening cream ad, and I'm half Thai, and it featured an actress whose skin slowly turned dark. And so what I found fascinating about these ads going viral is that growing up in the Philippines and in Thailand, I used to see these ads all the time on TV. And it occurred to me that in an increasingly interconnected global world, you can no longer create these kinds of ads in a national vacuum, that you actually have to be accountable to sort of like a global cultural discourse around race.
Because within that vacuum, they seem to be fine, do they?
Yeah.
No one says, gosh, that's a bit off.
No. And in fact, it's really interesting to see the way that this has been perceived in the West, because actually the relationship to blackness, to white skin, and to race across Asia is incredibly complicated and incredibly heterogeneous and culturally specific to the relationship to colonialism in certain countries, the relationship to the caste system, for example. So it's it's a really complicated issue.
Well, you take us into the offices of a company called Clear Day, who manufacture a product, a skin whitening product called White Pearl. And the first thing we learn as an audience is that there isn't a place called Asia. There are all these women who you would, in general terms, call Asian, but they're all so specifically defined. You've got six women who are all actually very different from one another.
Yeah, it was really setting the play in Singapore. In this sort of global nexus and this sort of like liminal cultural space allowed me to really explore the multiplicity of Asian identities. So each character in the play comes from a different country in Asia and has a really specific way of speaking, has a really specific cultural background, really specific education, and sort of all end up clashing when this racist ad that they've released goes viral.
Yeah. So maybe we should have a scene. You've got two members of the cast with you there in our Sydney studio who are going to perform this reading for us. Jennifer Rani's here. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you, Michael?
And Heiha Lee. Hi.
Hi, Lo. Hi.
Have I said your name right?
Heiha, yeah.
Yeah, Heiha. Well, thanks for coming. Now, you're going to perform this scene. I should say there's a language warning due here. It's impossible to choose a scene in this play that doesn't have confronting language in it, because the whole thing goes like an absolute roller coaster, and these women never stop unloading on each other. It's the most competitive workplace you can possibly imagine. And surely the scene you've chosen for us, what's happening in this?
Sure. So this is right from the start of the play. The ad has just gone viral on YouTube. They're watching the view count going up and trying to work out what their next course of action is going to be. And the two characters are Sunny and Priya. And Priya manages the company, and Sunny is sort of her ally, her confidant.
We should explain that the fact that it's gone viral is a disaster, because it's sort of been leaked. Is that what's happened?
Yeah, it has been leaked on YouTube, and they don't know how it got leaked. And they, it was for a Chinese television station.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
they didn't give their consent for the ad to be
So now it's out in the big wide world, and there's a scandal brewing, and they're all arguing, first of all, how they're going to manage this scandal, and secondly, whose fault it is,
yeah,
and who should be hung out to dry of these six women.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. As I say, a language warning for what follows. Take it away.
23,000.
Okay, we draft a statement now.
That's what I bloody said.
I'ma grab my Mac. Oh,
this is bad. This is so bad.
Bria, chill the F down. Drink. US is hours ahead. We got time, la.
So we...
So high concert. Find this French-ass clown, get the video taken down. Say big sorry. It's gone before US peeps even wake up. Easy.
The board will want blood for this.
Oh, rest assured, my bro. They're gonna KPKB.
Already think we're bloody inept.
Not us specifically, if you see what I'm saying.
What? No, what are you saying?
Not us.
Oh, you're saying like...
Like maybe. I'm saying we got options.
Fuck.
What?
It's on Facebook.
What? Where?
Look.
shit. Okay. Report it.
Report?
Click the...
What?
There. Where? Asia. Just move.
What are we reporting?
The copyright infringement.
Oh, smart.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Wait, so what are we talking here? Are we talking like a sacrificial lamb?
Whoa, okay, bro. Don't be all weird
I'm
about
totally
it.
I'm totally not.
You totally are.
It's not scapegoating if she's, you know, at fault, which...
Maybe.
We have to... Right. Due diligence.
But we're not talking about that right now.
No.
This first.
But I mean, we're not talking about that because somebody is getting fired for this.
Bro, not now, la. Now we hustle.
Hustle. Yes.
The whole play is like this. Yeah. Thank you for that. That was wonderful. Do you guys have experience of these creams yourself, or have you known people who've used them?
No, none.
No, actually, when I go back to Vietnam, where I'm a native, people do often comment that I'm a bit darker because, because I like to spend time in the sun and I have a tan, but they do prefer their girls a bit whiter over there. That's in vogue.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And do you find that confronting, or do you just say, well, that's Vietnam, that's the way the values work here?
No, I don't find it confronting, but it is a bit challenging sometimes to know that, you know, their paradigm of beauty is completely on a different scale.
Hmm. And Shirley, you could argue it that way. You could say there doesn't need to be a global morality, that what whiteness means in one culture is different from what it means in another.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is actually something that the play delves into quite a lot, is the relationship to whiteness in all of these countries and how complicated that actually is and how, in a lot of ways, it has nothing to do with colonialism and it has nothing to do with people who... Like, it has nothing to do with trying to be Caucasian. I think what's fascinating about the way that we are all connected through digital technology now is whether or not you think something should exist in a vacuum, it's impossible for it to do so. That's what the play sort of explores.
It is. I mean, it's partly about, too, whether there is one conversation around whiteness or skin colour that should be the global conversation. I mean, it's a very confronting issue, this, isn't it? It's almost hard to talk about. It's almost hard to find a way of airing an opinion as a hypothetical so we can get the conversation going.
Yeah, I mean, it's enormously difficult because, of course, whiteness is not a static concept. Like, no one has agreed on a global definition of what whiteness is, except that it's defined by what it is not. Like, it's purely a discourse of otherness. And so when you have a discourse that's based purely on opposition, it's incredibly difficult to talk about what that actually entails.
Your play is also a critique of cosmetics, actually, of a whole industry, a whole advertising industry that's based on people feeling bad about how they just look.
Right, and that's something that, in the course of developing this play with Playwriting Australia, I've really, the team there has really encouraged me to explore that more and how this play isn't just for, you know, Asian audiences. It's talking about a much larger issue, which is why capitalism has evolved in this way that we can monetize shame,
yes.
And we monetize self-hatred.
Yep.
and how toxic that culture actually is. Yeah.
So Playwriting Australia run the National Play Festival, which I'm pleased to say is back on its feet. It had a year off last year, but we're back. It used to be called the National Playwrights Conference. And it's a great event because there are workshops and talks and things, but also at the heart of it, this opportunity for playwrights to see their work performed and to have critical feedback. How are you I guess that hasn't started yet, has it?
Oh, no, we're in rehearsal right now.
Oh, I see. So how's that going? How's that feedback process going? Are you getting something out of it as a writer?
I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, obviously, we have amazing actors, as you just heard, and they're enormously intelligent and intuitive. So I've been bringing in, you know, chunks of new dialogue, new pages, constant rewrites, and it really keeps me on my feet, and they manage to keep up with everything.
Oh, you're adding stuff. Usually people cut stuff, but you're adding stuff.
I'm both cutting and adding. It's an iterative process.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's been really, it's just amazing to find out in real time what's working and what isn't. Yeah.
I've been looking through your CV here, and it says that you're interested in techno-dramaturgy.
Yeah.
I think I am too. What is techno-dramaturgy? It sounds great.
Yeah. So this is something that I've sort of been exploring with the company I work with in New York, which is called 3LD Art and Technology Center. Just the concept that in sort of like my other practice as a dramaturg, I believe that technical systems like, I mean, you're just hearing an interview about VR, and I believe that innate in any technical system is a kind of politics, a kind of dramaturgy. And by knowing the details of the system you're using, whether it's virtual reality or AR or a mixed reality system, even stuff like conventional projection design, you can have a deeper engagement with the work.
Oh, this sounds so rich. I think we should get you back and do that as a whole topic.
Yeah.
Are you up for that?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Playwright and Julie Felicia King. And I've issued the invitation, so I guess we will have to have her back on the program this coming year to talk about techno-dramaturgy. You also met performers Jennifer Rani and Hai-Ha Lee. When we spoke, they're preparing for reading at the National Play Festival. It's since been picked up for a full production presented by the Sydney Theatre Company along with Riverside's National Theatre of Parramatta. And that one opens in October of this year.